The scripture is a familiar one to all of us. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, first 6 verses. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation which addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor lose courage when you are punished by him. For the Lord disciplines him whom he loves, and chastises every son whom he receives. As we have heard so well this week, the problem that we face as Christians is turning our eyes away from Jesus and becoming absorbed with other things. And it is easy for this to happen to us. There's so much going on around us in this world that presses in. It is sometimes hard to concentrate. And so Paul urges here that we keep our eyes not on the things around us, but on the face of Jesus. When I was a senior in college, we had what was called senior days. And we went off on a picnic early morning, just before daylight, and came to a mountain stream where we were to have our fun for the day. And as we were unpacking the truck that had our food on it, some of the people found a foot log across the river and were crossing over to the other side and playing there. There was a girl there who wanted to go across, but she was afraid. And so she asked me if I would help her across this foot log. And so I got ahead of her, took her by the hand. But as we were going along, she kept looking down at the water, which was running fast under this foot log, and she began to sway. And so I said, "Don't look down at the water. Look at the tree over at the other end of the foot log." And so she did. She didn't look at her feet. And she was making pretty good progress until the water began to slap up against the log. And she looked down, and before I knew it, we were both in the river. And you know, if you've tried to walk foot log, this is what happens. You look down. And if, as Christians, we start looking at one another and picking flaws and finding the faults of everybody in the church or out of the church, whatever it is, instead of looking at Jesus, we will suffer a fall too. And even some of the things Paul says that God sends to us to discipline us may prove to be a distraction. I believe our good Lord does not discipline us unless it's necessary. If we are becoming absorbed too much in other things and cannot learn the lessons of faith, he may send to us experiences that are designed to wake us up and shake us up. And so as we face the rest of this school year, looking forward into the future, walking with Christ, Let us heed this admonition of the Apostle Paul. Don't be discouraged at the chastening of the Lord, knowing that if we have problems, God in His love may be sending them to us for our own good, to turn our minds away from the things that distract and lead to defeat, and help us to put our eyes again on Jesus. May the good Lord watch over and keep us all, that looking in His face, grasping His hand, we shall follow on. All of the plan of salvation is finished, and we can look up, standing before Him into His face, and hear His gracious words, "Well done." Let us kneel as Susie leads us.
We'd like to thank You, dear Father, for this go through its hours. Grant us again Your love, that we may love each other. Now, grant us ever.
Been a tremendous week for my own heart. I've known Elder Vinden for several years. We used to live across from each other in the seminary many years ago, and I've always respected him. But this week I've had a fresh revelation of Jesus, and my heart is very full of his love, and I'm very thankful. And even though Elder Vinden has gone, yet the one that he represents says, "I will never leave you. Never forsake you." We thought this evening it would be well for us to have an opportunity for testimonies. I have asked four persons who have been here throughout this week to share with you what the week has meant to them, anew in Jesus Christ. And then we're going to give opportunity for those of you who would like to share your testimony, bringing glory to God and who He really is to you and what this week has meant. I'm going to ask June first. June will be baptized tomorrow, as Karen will be baptized in the second service. And I'm going to ask June to be first to tell us this evening really who Jesus is to her at this time.
I think the thing that I learned the most this week from listening to him is that our relationship with Jesus is not just a week of prayer now, but it's every week is a week of prayer. He reminded me of some things about my fellowship with Jesus that I thought I had straight in my mind. And he reminded me that my prayer life is not one that's supposed to be asking for things, but asking for Jesus to come into my life so that I can know Him and He can know me on a more personal basis. And I think through the whole week and listening to Him, I finally decided in my own mind that my prayer life wasn't what it ought to be. And I've been asking the Lord all week to deal with me on that particular matter, and that my prayer life would be more fulfilled even after tomorrow, because tomorrow is one of the most important days in my life. It was really a hard thing for me to deal with it after being 25 years a Sunday keeper. It was hard to realize that the Lord didn't command me to keep Sunday. He commanded me to keep the Sabbath. And I hope that throughout the experience I've had this week, that I'll be more faithful in my prayer life, and that when I do keep the Sabbath, that'll be because Jesus is with me and because I want to be with Him, and not because it's something that's written down in the Word, but something that I'm going to live in my life.
Would you join me in praying for June? I know you will, won't you? She's a teacher here in the Berrien County High School, in Springs High School. Thank you for that beautiful testimony. Ernan Norman is a junior ministerial student. Ernan, would you like to come and bear your testimony for who Jesus Christ is to you?
I'd like to say a little about my background, where I came from. My mother's the only Adventist on my island, that's Antigatter, in the British Virgin Islands. And for many years, you know, I've been keeping the Sabbath with her. She would have a worship. There's no church. She would have worship in the living room. And I would notice that when she prayed, her heart just seemed to be broken. You know, she'd just cry. And I always wonder, you know, well, what was she feeling? You know? And she always had a burden for my father, because he's not an Adventist and he has not committed his life to Christ per se. And I always thought about her wherever I go. Certain hymns I hear in church, certain songs I hear on radio that she liked to sing, and she would always lead out in singing. She would seem to be the only one that sings, you know, in the home during the Sabbath. And as time went on, I myself wasn't that committed, although I acknowledged the Sabbath and the truth, as we say, as it is in Jesus. Until later on in my life, I began to learn more. I began to see God lead in my life. And I began to see my home training shaping my life. And I came to New York in 69. And there, I wrote my mother back and forth to the family. And every time I get a letter from her, she'd always encourage me to do the right. Always encourage me to accept Christ, to commit my life. And I used to praise the Lord and say, what a wonderful mother, you know. I said, how many mothers are like this today? And as time went on, I began to learn more about Christ. And I began to see that He was the one that I needed. He was really the one that my mother was trying to show me in the home. And I accepted Him fully while I was in New York City. And as we talk about the third angel's message, I always think about it as, you know, just preaching what I've been hearing preached, you know, the fall of Babylon, Sabbath, Mark of the Beast. But then as I read and I keep studying the spirit of prophecy in the Bible and listening to the preachers, I begin to learn more of what the third angel's message was about. And it really is about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And like I said, this week has been a tremendous blessing to me, in that it has opened up to me more fully this central truth, the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And around Him centers all the rest of the messages. And I'd like to say tonight that this has been the trend of my life ever since I accepted Christ. But now I have more of an understanding since this week. I see more of what is possible. And I see that it is the way out for every one of us. There's no need, there's no cause to fall. If we fall, it's in our own power to do so. But if we keep on looking to Christ, we have victory. And I was just reading this evening that Christ, our God, has set a high standard for us. But it says that when the Bible says, be perfect as your Father is perfect, it's a promise. And that the plan of salvation was designed to fulfill that promise. Be perfect. And I could say, I'm sure each one of you tonight received that wonderful blessing that we got this week. And I hope you really see and understand this tremendous message. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And you can be sure we'll pray for you too, Hernan. Karen, would you come and share with us who Jesus really is to you?
I have been raised a Christian all my life, but it really meant nothing to me. And just these past few weeks, I've been studying and praying with a girlfriend, and she's very close to me. And the feeling that I'm feeling now in the love of Christ is something that I really can't express, because it's something you have to feel yourself. Because if you don't feel it, you don't understand. And inside, I really feel beautiful. In my past life, I've been led astray, and I've led people astray too. And more than anything, I want to go back to them and show them that I've changed and that I'm sorry for what I've done to them. And I want them to feel the way I do, because it's really beautiful. And more than ever, I want my parents to see the way I feel, because we don't get along, and that's one thing I want right now, is for them to be here and to share with me feelings that I feel and the love for them that I have. And I know someday when Christ comes, we'll be reunited, and that's what I'm really looking for, is to Christ coming and to seeing all my friends and my parents there. It's really going to be a beautiful experience, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Thank you for that beautiful testimony, Karen. Steve is one of our seminary students. Steve, would you come and share Jesus with us this evening?
I'm one of those third generation Adventists, and I've been into the routine of attending every Wednesday evening prayer meeting, and my mom and dad would be at the church board meeting right after that, so I would hang around the church for another hour, 2 hours, or midnight. And this is a routine that I went through. It was all external. I used to remember that while my mom and dad were in the board meeting, my sis and I and some of the other kids had the privilege to cook up some kind of game to play outside church, so we got into hide and seek. And to me, I was thinking tonight, that was kind of my experience. I was trying to hide in so many different corners and just doing it all myself, not letting God fight any of my battles, hiding so far that He could hardly find me. And whenever He would occasionally find me, I'd kind of be aggravated, you know, and tell Him to go back and count longer, you know, the hide and seek experience. But then just a couple of years ago in my college experience, I praise the Lord for the righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ, the truth that I was able to find. And ever since that time, I've been trying to get every inch of tape that I could from Pastor Vinden, whoever else it might be. My experience this week has been one of bonus. It's just been super. Today is, I was kind of lazy and seminary students don't have to go to school on Friday. So I stayed at home. I wish I'd have been here this morning, but I listened to it over the radio. And as I was listening to it, all I could do was weep. I'm glad I wasn't here so you couldn't see me cry. But I said, that's me, Simon, really hiding everything, pointing out everybody else's troubles, criticizing. And yet, there was Jesus, so tactful, so beautiful, only letting Simon know that he was rebuking him. Then I thought of this week's story that Pastor Vinden told, just a little bit about Zacchaeus. Jesus looked for Zacchaeus. He looked up in that tree. And if you have your Bibles, you probably know it. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10. I praise the Lord for this verse. Luke 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm glad it doesn't say is, but it says was. I praise the Lord that I've been able to learn a little bit more.
And all this says to me that it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And that's the way this week of prayer will continue. Seems like we ought to sing that song again. What do you say?
I know not why God wondrous grace to me.
Seems to me that His love fell all around us this week, didn't it? These testimonies sort of testify to that. I'm just wondering if somehow God didn't turn your world around a little bit this week when He stretched out His hand to you. You know, I think somehow the messages that we heard this week are the most important that we could hear at any time. Do you believe that? I say that on the basis of what Ellen White said in Testimonies, Volume 6, page 19. The message of Christ's righteousness is to sound from one end of the earth to the other, to prepare the way of the Lord. This is the glory of God which closes the work of the third angel. The message of Christ's righteousness, justification by faith, sanctification by faith. The ladies of the church brought out some fresh flowers tonight, and they wanted to make them white tonight for the communion service. Righteousness. Purity. That's what it's really all about. Well, we kind of decided that since Elder Vinden left that we wouldn't have a sermon tonight. Rather, we'd like to hear from you, and just by the look on your face, I think that some of you would like to say something. These folks had a little time to think about it, and so we've called them forward. But we won't call you forward, but Elder Dameron and Elder Shepherd are going to go down with some roving mics to talk to you just for a moment here. You know, about 4 years ago, we had a tremendous revival on our campus here. We're still feeling the effects of it. It really spread. And we noticed one thing about that revival, that when some change occurred in the life of somebody, and they stood up and said so, it seemed to cement the whole thing in their life. Have you ever had that experience? It just seemed to cement it for them when they actually said so publicly. Well, that's biblical. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
I wonder if something happened to you this week. And if it did, we'd like to just give a few of you an opportunity to tell us briefly about it. And we'd like to suggest three thoughts in this, if you'd like to say something tonight, to make it kind of a current experience, something that happened this week, maybe even today to you. And, of course, to keep it short and to keep it Christ-centered. All right? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Just raise your hand if you'd like to say a word tonight so that the brethren can see it. And they'll come down right to you with the microphone. All right, Elder Darman, you have somebody here.
Yes, I'd like to say this week that I have realized for the first time my utter helplessness. And it has, I don't know, it seems to have affected other people because I received a little letter under my door, and opened it up. Inside there was a picture of Christ. And I turned it over, and I don't remember the exact words, but it went something like this. Since you've gotten hurt, I was on crutches earlier this week, by the way. Since you've gotten hurt, the smile on your face, the love of Christ, has been shining through so much. And we want to thank you for that. I guess it was done by more than one person. And that just affected me. Wow. Really, Lord, this is for real. But like I was saying, I realized my utter helplessness because, for one thing, something happened to me this summer. It was something like a nervous breakdown or something like that. I don't know for sure what it was. But I had to leave. I was here this summer. I had to leave. I went home for 5 weeks. I came back. I still wasn't feeling exactly right. I wasn't myself. And I didn't have financial arrangements for this quarter made at all. And I told the Lord, look, if you want me to be here, you're going to arrange this whole thing. And he did.
Amen.
I started 2 weeks late in the quarter, going to my classes and everything. I was going before that, but the money came through. Well, about 2 weeks ago, I was sick with the flu. I was laid out for a little over a week with the flu. And after it had passed, I woke up one morning. And I realized I was myself. And before that morning, my studying, everything, I mean, I was studying, but I couldn't, somehow I just couldn't get it. My mind was not efficient or something. There was something lacking. But it all came back. And then this past Sabbath, I was almost caught up with all my studies and everything. And then this past Sabbath, I sprained my foot really bad. I almost fell down trying to get to the infirmary over there. I couldn't go to Sabbath school. And to me, it was almost like the last straw in my experience. Because here I was already about 3 weeks behind. And I was having just a terrible time trying to keep up with everything because of the flu and starting late and everything. And yet, everything has worked out so perfectly because Dr. Ford, I talked to him and he said, well, he says, enough has happened to you legitimately this quarter for you to get some incompletes or whatever, you know. And I just said, really, Lord, this is fantastic. And then I realized, I don't have to pay any more money, but I realized as he was talking about being helpless, that's the last step before surrendering one's life to Christ. I just saw myself. I saw myself trying to, fight my past life and sins and everything, and I wasn't really, I just hadn't given up. And I just thank the Lord because he's really brought me down to where I have no security at all, especially scholastically, except in one class, and that's Greek, and I thank the Lord for that.
Amen. Amen.
He's really been gracious to me, and I want to praise his name for all that he's done for me during these past weeks.
Thank you. He's got a big smile on his face through everything he said, too. God bless you all the way now. Okay. You got one, Brother Shepherd? All right.
I was sitting in the cafeteria yesterday at noon, and we were eating. I was eating with some friends. And somehow we got on the subject of what we drink. And one of the guys was sitting there, and he says, yeah, I used to drink a gallon of milk a day. A gallon of milk a day. And that brought to my mind the text in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so, be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." I'd like to say that I've really tasted the graciousness of the Lord this week, and I'm thankful for the opportunities that I've been given to share and to grow by taking in His Word.
Amen. Real good. And now comes the meat, you know, right along, following that real food. It's a beginning and a wonderful growth that will come beyond. Somebody over here? Thank you.
I just want to reiterate to you tonight, I really feel that it hasn't been Elder Vinden as much as it's been the Lord speaking.
Amen.
And I have to say that He's spoken right to me. I'm a fifth generation Adventist, and I don't say that to brag, because to me it's been a real disadvantage in that I've known a lot about God. I've known a lot about the Seventh-day Adventist Church, but I've never really known Him. And I feel like for the first time in my life, He's spoken directly to me. And Elder Vinden really landed where I am. It's so easy to hide behind a Christian facade and not be a Christian. And it's so easy to try to do it yourself. This week has just turned me around and made me realize that even though I thought I was doing what the Lord wanted me to do in being here at the seminary and devoting my life to Him, that I really hadn't given Him all my life. And this week, I started again. And I've given Him everything that I am, because He's spoken to me and really revealed to me who He is. And I just want to ask you to pray for me, but not just for me, but I know there are many people like me who need to know that close, comforting communion that can only come through prayer and through knowing God through His Word and from staying with Him, even when it's easier to hide behind the Christian facade. And I just praise Him that this week has been a reality in my life.
I wish that all of you could see their faces. Everybody who's speaking so far just smiling and beaming with the love of God. That's wonderful. All right?
Earlier this week, Pastor Vinden was talking about facing temptation and things, and how when God is with you, that you can really handle it. And I have this thing that's really been bothering me for like the past year or so, and I've been really, you know, I'm going to handle this, and I've been really just watching me, I'll take care of it. And needless to say, I've fallen on my face 60,000 times. And this week, He really got to me, so I just said, okay, Lord, you know, I've had it. I can't do it myself. I'm just going to give it to You. And I was faced with it this week, and it's like nothing. I mean, I felt no temptation, and I could just feel the power of God so strong, and it just really wiped me out, because I'd never really experienced anything like that before. So many times we pray for power, and then when it comes, we just really can't believe it's there, and I think we miss it. I really feel like this week I'm a different person. People may look at me and say, gee, you look the same, and you're still giggling like an idiot, and you're still getting mad at me for no reason. But I know inside me that I'm different, and I praise the Lord for that. I have a really heavy burden for my father. He's not an Adventist and doesn't feel a whole lot of a need for Savior. And this week when I sit and I've been listening to Pastor Vinden, that burden has just been going really deep to me. And somehow I feel like instead of trying to handle it alone and trying to witness to my father through just me, that the Lord is standing by me and He's going to give me words and He's going to give me enough love to just win Him over, so that when Jesus comes, that my whole family can go to heaven and not just part of it.
Right. Amen. Amen. I wonder how many of you would like us to pray for somebody in your family, mother, father, brother, sister. Let's see your hands tonight. Look at that. Practically everybody. All right, let's remember that. In fact, I'd like to suggest as we go down in a few moments to have our ordinance of foot washing, that you kneel together with your partner, you know, and pray for him or her and for his family or her family as well. That the influence and the impact of the Spirit of God can really move out from this service, out into your homes, back wherever they are, that your family will be with you all the way in this. Okay, I think maybe we'll have time for two more. One over here and one over here. All right, Elder Dameron, you have someone?
Today I took my comprehensives. I'm a master's student, and I took my comprehensives in guidance and counseling. And I'm the kind of person who really goes half nuts over their studies, and anybody who's a graduate student who knows what it's like the week before comprehensives, plus to have a week of prayer and to try to make choices of what are the most important things in life, it's a hard choice to make.
Right.
And I chose that I wanted to have Christ speak to me more fully and that I would go to all the meetings. And I praise his name that I only had to miss one, which is this morning when I was taking my comprehensives. And the Lord really gave me a peace through this whole week that I didn't get all uptight. And when I say uptight, I really mean when comprehensive time comes, it's pretty bad. And the Lord really gave me a peace. And I praise his name that he really helped me intellectually to, I think, witness for him through doing well on my comprehensives today, because I know he really helped me.
Great.
And I'm really thankful for that.
Wonderful. Good. I know how you feel. I took those same comprehensives some years ago. Somehow got through it. Okay?
I would like to express my feelings that I have received during this week of prayer, because God has answered my prayer, which was long time overdue. And my question was always, why disappointment and discouragement in a life, especially in ministry, and when a person comes from Christian home? And during this week, I have realized that I was fighting a battle where it wasn't. And I praise Lord for this experience, and I pray that I may fight a battle where it was, where it is, and that I may ask Lord that I always may be in His presence.
Amen. God give you victory. All right, I'm going to read one quotation and then I'm through here. Gospel Workers, page 261. Many hold faith as an opinion, but saving faith is a transaction by which those who receive Christ join themselves in covenant relation with God. I think that's happened to a lot of people this week, don't you? I'm praying that it's happening for you right now, even in this service. Thank you.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.